There's a cute story that I heard quite a number of years ago that I really didn't appreciate at the time, but I appreciate it much more now. And it's about a young man who was sound asleep on a Sunday morning when his mother came into his room and said, "Okay, time to get up. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to go to church." And the man groaned, and he pulled his pillow over his head. And his mother pulls the pillow away and said, "Let's go. The service starts in an hour." So he says, "I don't want to go. The service is too long. The people there don't like me, whatever. So why do I have to be there?" And his mother said, "Because you're the minister. So you have to be there." Okay. Okay. Now, for some reason, a lot of people seem to think that ministers jump out of bed on Sunday morning excited to show the world what a brilliant talk that they have prepared and ready to teach people how to be more spiritual. But I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? In private conversations I've had with the many ministers that I know around the country, I have found that that is not always the case. Now, on Sunday morning, I get up about 6 o'clock or 6:30, and I am not always excited to get out of bed, get dressed, and come down here to do two services. Most of the time, I'm in pretty good shape, but sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, and I just want to roll over and go back to sleep, like some of you guys do when it's cold, rainy, or dark, those kind of things. Sometimes I want to just lounge around in my jammies until noon and read the paper and then sort of get dressed and not even take a shower and go out and have brunch with my friends. And sometimes when I'm out on Saturday night, I don't like having to go home early because I've got to get up early and talk the next morning. There's a part of me that says, or rather whines, I guess would be a better word, "Why do I have to work tomorrow? Why can't somebody else do it?" Okay? But when I finally do get here, every single Sunday, without exception, and I've been doing this for about 10 years now, when I walk through the front doors there, when I see that sign out front, and I see all the volunteers starting to set things up and people coming in and starting to come in faster and faster as we get closer to the time, and people seeing their friends and they're excited about the message and seeing each other and all those things, there's something in me that responds. And that's when I really remember why I get to do and why I do what I do and why I enjoy this center and this community, which is why I can always honestly say to myself and to the universe when I show up on Sunday morning, it is a pleasure to be here. And that's the title of the talk. That's sort of the theme we're going to be doing. In fact, "it's a pleasure to be here" is something that I say to myself in meditation all the time. And when I say I'm pleased to be here, I'm not just talking about in this auditorium on Sunday morning. I am talking about all the different "heres" that apply in my life, just like in yours. It's a pleasure to be here living in Atlanta. It's a pleasure to be here on the planet. It's a pleasure to be here in this body. It's a pleasure to be here and alive. That's what I believe. And I say this with the full knowledge that everything in the world, especially right now, today, is not all sweetness and sunshine and roses. We're all aware of that. In fact, this particular time in history that we are all living through is one of the most dangerously pivotal times in the history of the human race. It really is, and we are right here living through it. And a lot of people I have talked to are not happy about being here in the middle of this. You know, the truth is, at this very moment, we, which means the human race, we have a variety of challenges that are going to take a lot of effort and a lot of attention for us to solve. And whether we realize it or not, we have got a deadline. We do. Now, we don't know exactly when that deadline is, but there is a distinct possibility that we are moving steadily forward towards a point in time where we may not have enough time left to solve the problems we've got. We are actually in that position, and that's pretty scary. I mean, in terms of the environment, the temperature of the planet is changing, and so is the composition of the atmosphere. The oceans are changing. The weather is changing. We see all of that. And we can argue all we want about whose fault it is or what needs to be done or who needs to do what first. But while we are arguing about these things, Mother Nature will continue to do what she has done since long before we showed up on the scene. She will work to cleanse the planet of any threats that exist to the balance of life. Because that's what nature does. Because nature is part of the intelligence of the universe, of God, of spirit, expressing itself in the world. And since the biggest threat to the planet right now appears to be the people who are living on it and screwing it up, then we might possibly find ourselves being eliminated along with all the other species on the planet that are disappearing every day. And then there's the way that we interact with each other, all of us spiritual beings having a human experience that we talk about. Now, when we consider our oneness with all of humanity, which we talk about all the time, we don't seem to be getting along with each other like people who are all one here on the planet. In fact, we are divided right now across the globe by race, religion, nationality, and political rigidity all over the place. There are more and more arguments and conflicts between young and old, rich and poor, gay and straight, the educated and the uneducated. And there are very few ideologies or movements going on in the world right now of any size, there's a bunch of small ones, of any size that are actually bringing people together to deal with all of the things that we're facing that affect us all. Because we are all being affected, no matter who we are or where we live, with absolutely no regard for which side we're on, how much money we have, or whether or not we recycle. Okay? All the way across the board. But when it comes to bringing people together, this teaching, in my opinion, granted I'm biased, but I understand this teaching is on the right track. And I say that because the things that we talk about here bring together the physical and the spiritual. It brings the two together because there really is no separation. So this teaching, at its core, is about the God in us recognizing and honoring the presence of that same God in every other person. And when I say every other person, that's not just the people we like and just the people we agree with. Now, this is not always easy for us to accept or to express. There are always going to be people on every side who think that they're right and everyone else is wrong. There are always going to be people who think their answer is the only answer and they want to make everyone else do it that way. But the ultimate answers that we need, the solutions that we're going to have to find for the stuff we're dealing with, cannot and will be, this is important, they cannot and will be found, will not be found by choosing one side over another. That's not going to work. The answer has to be something larger than the arguments that we are having with one another. It has to be something that transcends the choosing sides and the he said, she said, and the conflicts that we are getting caught up in, both mental conflicts, arguments, and physical conflicts like the wars. On the other hand, it is my pleasure to inform you, we are also living in a time of exceptional opportunity, right now, right where we are. And that's something for us to be excited about. Technology is bringing us closer and closer to all sorts of amazing breakthroughs. We are on the verge of finding the causes and being able to heal a lot of very serious illnesses and diseases like cancer, HIV, and heart disease, just to name a few of the big ones. The internet has provided a way for almost everyone on the planet to actually be connected with everyone, not just theoretically or spiritually, we're all one. We are actually at a time when we are starting to be connected with people everywhere in the world. There are opportunities right now to make incredible amounts of money. People are doing it right now, even in the midst of all this stuff we're hearing on the news. We can travel almost anywhere in the world in a matter of hours, and for children everywhere, the good news is we are coming up on ways to feed them, clothe them, and educate them so that they can participate in the future that they're going to have to create. And it's pretty amazing. It really is. Even with all of the negative news that is going around all over the place that we've been hearing, the positive forward movement of life, whether we're talking about technology, medicine, food production, alternative fuels, political freedom, that forward movement is always taking place. Always, always, always. Now, it doesn't get nearly as much press as the negative stuff, but that doesn't mean it isn't happening. It's just not as dramatic right now, at least not yet. But if and when the world, by that I mean all of us, finally decides that we have had enough killing, enough pollution, enough poverty, disease, and fear, as I believe that it will, if we all get on board, the changes that we can barely see right now in the world are going to start to expand and accelerate until they can't be stopped. That's how consciousness interjects itself, and I can't wait to see it. That's why I'm so happy to be alive at this particular point in history. Now, this Tuesday, we have an election. You all know that, right? Everybody knows that? Okay, good. Now, in all the time I've been here on this platform, I have never gotten political, and I don't intend to start now because that is not my job. But I do want to talk for a moment or two this morning about the consciousness that we might want to focus on as we move into the next phase of what is going on in this country and in the world. Now, in this campaign that's been going on for forever plus 2 weeks, I think, about a year and a half, 2 years, the last 18 months or so has been about the main characters, the presidential and the vice presidential candidates. Most of us have made up our minds. We made them up a while ago. Most of us are strongly in favor of one side and or strongly opposed to the other side, which is fine. That is what free elections do. We make a choice on what we think and what we feel. Of course, some of what we think may be right. Some of what we think may be wrong. Some of what we feel in this time may be appropriate. Some of it may be a little overdramatic or dysfunctional. But we all have the right, in this country at least, to make our own decision and put our decision into the mix. Now, as an observer as well as a voter, and we all need to be observers, that's how we can see the truth by stepping back, detaching a little bit. I am really happy to see how many people have gotten into this political campaign, no matter which side they're on, because that shows we're interested, and that's good. And I obviously encourage all of you to vote your conscience on Tuesday if you haven't voted already, which I know many of you have. But what I want to talk about briefly today is our expectations about what is going to happen come Wednesday morning, after the votes are in, after things have been decided. You see, we tend to focus a lot of energy and a lot of attention and expectations on our elected officials. Our normal pattern in this country is to pick somebody that we believe in or pick someone who has impressed us with their skill and their leadership capabilities. And then after we vote, we just go about our business hoping that they make good decisions and complaining when they don't. That's what we normally do. And the problem with doing things this way is that we seem to think that our choices end when we leave the voting booth. And they don't. It's kind of like a marriage, if you think about it. We don't stop making choices, paying attention, or participating in the marriage after the wedding vows are said and the rings are exchanged. If we do, the honeymoon doesn't last very long, okay? We have to stay involved every single moment of every day. It's not up to our partner or our spouse, the other person there, to make all the decisions. It's not up to them to solve all of the problems or to keep us happy. We have to participate. We have to communicate our needs. We have to let them know if something's bothering us, ask for help when we need it, and offer help when they need it. In politics, that's something that we seem to leave behind. We seem to want them to do everything. That's the expectation they have. Now, for quite a few years, the people of this country in both parties, both of the major parties and all of the minor parties, have been doing a lot more complaining than participating. And we are all guilty of that. We've been doing a lot more accusing than affirming, and we think the people at the top have a lot more power than they really have. So we talk about them. We talk about those people in Washington. We talk about how they did this and they did that. And that, unfortunately, from a science of mind perspective, which is what we teach here, is a passive, even a victim mentality. So those people who have enough money or security, whatever, to protect themselves or keep themselves from being too greatly inconvenienced, just tend to go their own way, not completely satisfied, but happy enough, while the people who feel they are not being represented or they're negatively affected by the status quo usually go into a different mode, either quietly or quite loudly. But what we don't do that we need to start doing is to remember that we are all connected at the spiritual level, which is the level of inspiration and creation. That's what the spiritual level is. So if we don't do that, then we don't work together to find the solutions that are going to benefit everybody. Now, somebody once said, And I was reminded of this last week watching television on one of the networks. Somebody once said that the two most abundant elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. I thought that was interesting, you know? And as cute as that is, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, there may be a fair amount of stupidity in the world, and all of us contribute our share of it on occasion, but there are also an awful lot of smart people in this world, including you and me, and not all of those people are in political leadership. Metaphysically speaking, which is beyond all the stuff that's going out there, at the potential, the possibility level, every person in this room, in this city, in this country, in every country throughout the world has access to the one source of all ideas. We all have access to that one source of all ideas. So answers don't just come from the elected officials or from the PhDs. Solutions come to any one of us who is open to greater solutions. So we need to stop expecting those people to have all the answers after we vote them into office. You see, every single one of us has played a part in the world's problems. No exceptions. We have all played a part. We may try to deny it. We may try to justify it. We may try to ignore it, but we can't. However, this is the good news. We are also part of the solution. Even if we're not a scientist or a medical doctor or a CEO, we can still make a positive difference, but we have to allow our mind and our thoughts and our consciousness to rise above the current state of affairs. And that's going to take more than voting. It's going to take more than recycling. It's going to take more than buying a Prius. We're going to have to get involved. We have to allow the universal intelligence that exists everywhere to work through us so that it can do what it does. Because it takes a conscious and deliberate desire for us to create a world that's better than the world that we see on CNN. Once again, the people we vote for are not going to be able to solve this alone. Now, is this going to be easy? A lot of people ask. Well, yes and no. It is easy to make the decision to be a part of something greater. How many of you would like to do that? All of us would, sure. But it also may cause us a little bit of discomfort and inconvenience in our safe and secure lifestyle. And that's where it gets interesting. There was a lecture at the Nobel Peace Prize Awards, and a gentleman who won that prize, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., said this. And he said this about 25 years ago, but I want you to see if it applies today. Actually, 35 years ago. 45, my goodness, my addition's terrible. But long time ago, all right. He was speaking at a time when there was also a war, when a lot of things were going on. There were financial issues, there was racial unrest in this country, a lot of things. And he said, granted that the easygoing optimism of yesterday is impossible, that's a good statement, granted that we face a world crisis which leaves us standing so often amid the surging murmur of life's restless sea. Don't you love the way that man talked? I just loved it. But every crisis, he says, has both its dangers and its opportunities. It can spell either salvation or doom. And then he says, in his own beautiful way, in a dark, confused world, the kingdom of God may yet reign in the hearts of men. Now, we can translate that however we want, but we all know what it means. You see, we all want life to be easy. We do. Not only easy, we want our life to be a pleasurable experience. From riding in a convertible to soaking in a hot bath, from eating a delicious dinner at a wonderful restaurant with good friends to sleeping in our own sleep number bed. I mean, our life is occupied with creating pleasure in our life, all right? Now, for a lot of us, it's these little pleasures that make life worthwhile. It's the way we reward ourselves for the work we do after a hard day at work or overcoming some sort of a challenge. But it goes beyond just physical pleasure. Many of us, especially people in this center, because I know many of you, many of us enjoy the pleasure of helping other people, or the pleasure of using our talents or our strengths or our mind to accomplish something meaningful. But in order to feel pleasure at this level, which is a much higher level, we have to have a sense of our own importance and our own value as part of the creative process. We have to know that we have something to offer the world, something valuable that we don't offer only in exchange for something else. It's something that we contribute to the world simply because we can. And we do it because we're grateful for what we have, and we give that away freely to anyone who needs it, whether we know them or not. Whether we know them or not. So the pleasure we feel when we do this, when we give the best that we have, is what we might call spiritual pleasure. And that's one of the most powerful positive feelings that we can experience on this physical plane. So the question becomes, how can my need to feel pleasure make a difference in the world? Isn't the desire to feel pleasure selfish or hedonistic? And the answer to that is no. Not at all. The desire to feel pleasure instead of pain is a deep psychological and spiritual need that we all have. We are born with it. That's why pleasant feelings like love and compassion and understanding feel so much better than feelings like anger and distrust and self-righteousness that are so rampant in the world today. But the drama and the turmoil that we are feeling right now as a society, and the need that many of us feel to have winners and losers, that's the language we use, with us being the winner, of course, and somebody else being the loser. That's sort of implied when we say that. That can be quite appealing. In fact, that kind of thinking can actually be addictive. And any addiction provides us nothing more than a false and temporary feeling of pleasure. It's pleasure, but it's not real. Now, the danger is that our addiction to this feeling of being angry or being right or being afraid or whatever it is may encourage us to connect with other people who are angry and afraid and who want to be right, and then we'll all get together and we'll talk about how dangerous the world is and how evil those people are, which only divides us more. And that's not what we need to be doing, especially right now. Because in the end, Wednesday morning, after all the counting is done, whether it's counting votes on Wednesday morning, counting money on Wall Street, or counting bodies in the Middle East, the only feeling that is really worthwhile will be the feeling that we are all working together to accomplish something higher and better than this world has ever known. And that needs to be our ultimate goal. It needs to be. Now, Stephen Dinan, he's the editor of IONS magazine, the Institute of Noetic Sciences. They do a wonderful job. He's got an article in their current issue about all the stuff going on in the world right now. He's talking about the election, the war, the financial markets, the environment, all this stuff. And he writes this. He says, "It seems to many, including myself, that we are now entering a phase of rebirth of culture and consciousness that will bring waves of contractions," that's what he's calling these things, contractions, imbalances, "as we release old habits and patterns that no longer serve. The short-term pain, we hope, will be in service to a larger liberation." And then he says, "Let's envision the coming months as a time of increasing recognition of the need for new solutions, approaches, and innovations to create a healthy and whole culture." That's the way we need to think going forward. Now, on a personal level, maybe all we need to do is to change our focus a little from seeing ourselves as residents of our own little closed-in world to being residents and citizens, actually, of a much larger world. You know, we can all lead pleasurable lives if we want to, but we need to start finding pleasure in things that connect us with other people and other cultures instead of separating us. We need to start finding pleasure in things that preserve the planet instead of using it up. We need to find pleasure in things that are going to grow after we're gone and serve our children's children to the seventh generation, as the Iroquois say, instead of creating things that only exist for our benefit and our lifetime. And if we can begin to see the world that way and not be so attached to our short-term goals like winning or losing and our personal agendas, however noble they are, we're going to be fine. We are going to be fine. So as we take this next step, which we'll be doing this week, I invite you to look beyond the election, to look beyond the recession that they say we're in, to look beyond the war that we know we're in, and in your heart and mind, start to consciously choose to see something better. In fact, start to see the perfect manifestation of enlightened leadership, universal prosperity, and peace throughout the planet. And this is extremely important. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by anyone who says that it can't be done, because in consciousness, it already is. That's what we believe. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. So it is. Thank you. All right. Let's take a few moments to set ourselves up in consciousness right where we need to be right now at this point in time. Take the ideas I said that resonated with you. Take them for yourself. Any idea that touched you positively or negatively, recognize that that's something to think about. And let's know this. Let's know that the universe is a positive, loving, growing, expanding place. God, Spirit, supports life. In fact, it is life, and it is present in each and every one of us. We have come into this physical plane as spiritual beings, gathering the cells around us that became this physical form, but at our core, we are still spiritual. Every single one of us coming from the same Spirit, sharing the same Spirit, with the ability to create from that spiritual place something greater than we've ever known before. We do not depend upon one person to do everything. We allow our leaders to help, but we allow ourselves to help our leaders, whomever we choose. We recognize that life is greater than any one person, that life is all people, all of life, all of the planet, everywhere, all the time. That is the life that we are here to experience. And as we recognize this, we allow ourselves to participate, to contribute of our wealth, of our time, of our energy, of our enthusiasm and our passion to create the world in a greater way than it's ever existed going forward. This is the power we have. So I invite you to take a few moments in your mind, in your heart right now, a few moments of silence. We'll take this together. And in this silence, I invite you to know and see something greater than what's going on in the world, to know something that the best is going to come out of this election, out of this financial time, out of all that we see going on, that we are creating now the opportunity to grow beyond it in the way that we are all able to do. Take these moments for yourself. As we feel the peace and the possibility that is in this silence, we know that this is where we grow from. We grow from within. Each and every one of us growing from the inside out, bringing the best of what we have into the world, connecting with the best of everyone else. This is our recognition of what God is, of what Spirit is. This is our recognition of what we are able to bring to the world, and how the world responds to what we bring. With gratitude for this awareness and a true understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this. We allow our consciousness to be greater than the appearance, the effects, the conditions that we see. And in seeing something greater, we allow ourselves to move forward and do what we need to do to create it. This is our truth. We accept it and release it into consciousness, knowing that it is already done for us and every other person in this moment. And so it is.